I'm Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, where we uncover the secrets and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. And I'm really honored here. We're actually shooting this live at the Bulletproof Conference, and I'm excited for my guest today. I've followed him for years through nutrition and eating paleo and my family and everything else. And it's a great honor to actually have Mark Sisson here on Making Bank. He is the author of the number one best-selling book on Amazon, The Primal Blueprint, as well as the Primal Blueprint Cookbook, Mark's Daily Apple, as well as founder of Primal Nutrition. His company is devoted to healthy education and nutrition, as well as his business for supplements and keeping you staying healthy in your life. Mark, welcome to Making Bank.
Pleased to be here.
Awesome. Well, I guess tell me like how you got started in all this, or you know, what was your...
Well, I mean, it's an evolution. It's a long life. You know, a lot of things have happened. You know, I was an athlete in my younger years, and sure. Wanted to pursue endurance training. Became a pretty good marathon runner, and later on triathlete. But the lifestyle, the training, even the diet sort of caused me to have to retire early. I got injured, I got sick a lot. I was not positively impacting my health at all. So I ceased the training and I started to look at ways in which I could maximize performance without having to hurt so much, without the, you know, the struggling and suffering that I was going through and so many people were going through. That led me on a career of looking at supplementation. I started designing supplements for athletes that athletes could use to recover from without having to engage in any sort of performance-enhancing drug kind of protocols. Wound up designing more of a lifestyle product for people who were into the anti-aging movement, which was sort of coming to the front of the health consciousness in the 80s. So I have a line of supplements. Was very... interested in direct response marketing. I didn't want to be in stores. I wanted to educate my consumers about the benefits of the products. So I went on television to explain, you know, health and diet and exercise and nutrition and medicine and how all this stuff worked. And oh, by the way, I had these awesome supplements that I sell here too, right? So I grew my business on the strength of my television appearances, creating content, building sort of a brand. About 5 or 6 years into this, the model for direct response television started to dry up. There were now 300 cable stations, there was Dish and Direct, and the internet was starting to come on board as a means of right. this. So I started to lose my market share, if you will, and I looked at blogging as a way of creating a market and creating an audience and rebuilding what I had on television. Because I had information, I wanted to give information. So I started this blog 10 years ago, Mark's Daily Apple, in which I was thinking to myself, I'll write something about health and fitness every day sure. for a year, and at the end of a year, I'll have said everything there is to say about health and fitness, and it'll be done, and it'll be evergreen, and it'll be up there on the internet forever. Well, a year into it, all it did was open more doors, more questions. I grew an audience. I started to grow a brand. About a year in, people said, well, you've got all this great information about how to live an awesome life. Can you put it into a book? So I wrote The Primal Blueprint. The Primal Blueprint sure. became my sort of house brand. So in the world of paleo and ancestral living, the primal side of it is me. I'm big on primary, of first importance. And so primal took on this life of its own. And that sort of began this brand, which became the Primal Blueprint and Primal Nutrition and Primal Fuel, which is one of my products, and now Primal Kitchen, which is a food company I started 10 right. years ago, which is taking off. And then I have a restaurant group called Primal Kitchen as well. Awesome. So all of this goes back to the concept of brand building and starting out with a passion and starting out with a message and content that I wanted to put out there, I wanted to share with the world. Creating an audience, building a following, building a very loyal following, and essentially creating a market.
Right. So I guess, you know, along the way, first, you know, you said one of the things was you just started making supplements. So I get, you know, and we have a lot of entrepreneurs that watch our show and everything, and you know, we're all into taking risks and figuring out how to do things. But how do you say, okay, hey, I just know how to create supplements, so I'm going to go do that?
Yeah. So I mean, I had gone to college and as a pre-med candidate, right. I had a bachelor's degree in biology. I'd been very well versed in supplementation over the years, just as an athlete trying to find, you know, is vitamin C going to possibly impact my immune system? Is vitamin E going to, you know, give me a benefit in delayed onset muscle soreness? You know, are certain types of esoteric supplements at the time, like creatine, going to benefit my, you know, my training? So as much information as existed in the world of supplementation, I sort of knew it.
Okay, awesome.
And then, kind of tangentially, in the late 80s, I got co-opted to be the anti-doping commissioner for the sport of triathlon worldwide. So I started to become party to all the information on these illegal performance-enhancing substances.
Right.
So between my background in nutrition and evolution from biology from college, my experience personally as an athlete trying to improve performance naturally and legally, and then through my administrative experiences, basically having to adjudicate every positive drug test in the sport of triathlon for 15 years, I just got a nice collection of different skills,
right,
if you will, that allowed me to get into the world of creating supplements. And to be truthful, there's not a lot of magic in designing supplements. You know, it's not like stuff will blow up if you mix them together. Yeah, it's just basically deciding, you know, which of these raw materials to put together, and do they have any sort of a synergistic effect,
right,
or do they cancel each other out? Some of those things, and some of that stuff's in the literature. But for the most part, I mean, if you were to ask me, like, what's my strength of all of the skills that I have, it's probably creating products. It's probably one of my biggest strengths.
And I know, just knowing who you are and have seen your brand over the years, you know, that was one of the biggest things, I think, that you've established, like you said, for yourself, was that brand aspect. Did you go into this thinking, hey, this is what I'm going to do, is create a brand?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a good point. I was already old by this time. All right, so I already had enough life experience,
right,
to not want to just take a random shot in the dark and see what happened.
Sure.
I'd thrown enough stuff against the wall, and some of it stuck and some of it didn't. So I realized from the beginning that I did want to create a brand, that I wanted the brand to have uniqueness and strength and power and credibility, and I wanted it to appeal to the greatest number of people. And so that was always foremost in my mind, was create the brand and do so with really not even knowing what I was going to be,
right,
offering as a product, but create the brand, build the brand around a lifestyle, around a protocols, around a diet, around, you know, just sort of this intent on living an awesome life.
Sure.
Because that's what I learned in my years, is really we're here to extract the greatest amount of joy and pleasure possible from every moment. So how we do that is up to each of us individually, but one of the things that's sort of common throughout this is, if you don't have your health, you know, in peak sort of shape, you won't be able to experience that joy and pleasure and satisfaction, contentment, fulfillment to the greatest extent.
Right.
So it came back to create the brand, and then within that brand, you know, what is the market I'm creating? And this is how the food company came to be 3 years ago. It's like, oh my God, all of a sudden we've created a loyal following, millions of people who are sort of do-it-yourselfers, minimalist, who want to, like, make their own bone broth and render their own lard and, you know, do all this awesome stuff outside the gym, you know, do all these workouts without a lot of equipment.
Right.
Really a kind of a minimalist lifestyle. And they want to access clean, healthy foods. And then they go to the store and there's, like, not a lot of selections other than, you know, produce and some
sure.
of that stuff. But, you know, we wanted to create products that actually fit the need that we just created by telling people, here's how you can
Right. No, and it's, you know, we use the avocado oil, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Kind of is. I mean, it's just, like you said, when you go to the grocery store, there's not all those things. But as entrepreneurs, one of the biggest things I think a lot of people, these questions that I always get emailed is, they tend to neglect that health and that nutrition.
Yeah.
Because they're so focused on their business and building and driving. But I think it was one of the key points you said is knowing and making sure you have the right health is going to allow you to.
No, I mean, right, the, you know, the stories of all of the coders who, you know, spend 72 hours at their desk and pee in Coke bottles so they can keep coding and order pizza in and you know,
right.
I mean, that's, this is, companies have now launched just to address those programmers because they don't want to eat. They don't have time to eat. And so let's make a food for them that they can slam down and, because eating must suck for some reason. No, I mean, so I'm looking at this going, eating doesn't suck. Eating is one of the great pleasures of life. I want every bite of food I put in my mouth to taste awesome. And if you tell me, hey, you know, try this, Josh. It's, this is really good for you. It's really healthy. If it doesn't taste good, out it goes.
Sure.
I'm not going to slam it down just because you tell me it's healthy.
I, and that's what a lot of people run into is they think good food, but it sucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste great. And I think that's one of the great things that you created was those products.
First, look, the first criteria of anything we make is it has to taste great. Now, it also has to fit the, you know, the specs, the criteria being healthy ingredients, clean ingredients,
right.
You know, all the stuff that's paleo, primal, ancestral, but it still has to taste good. It has to taste great first.
So as you're building your businesses, you're focused into it, and you have, okay, we're, you know, we want to build this brand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies now, especially with all the online, on internet businesses and different things, people are just scaling for that cash and they're not really focused on building that brand. I mean, is that, do you think building that brand is still important or is that something that's...
So you have a lot of companies online now that are sort of one-hit wonders. They're fly-by-night companies. If somebody has an ebook that, you know, takes over but and does well and sells, you know, $1.5 million worth and, you know, everybody's happy for a little while, but then how do you follow that up? If you didn't have the credibility, if you didn't have the brand, if you didn't have the loyalty, if you didn't develop, you know, a clear plan of action for growth, then you've got the series of one-hit wonders, some of which work and some of which don't. I think we're coming into a time of like two choices. One is a race to zero margin for commodities.
Right.
So everybody's trying to sell on the internet at the cheapest possible price that day. And everybody buys at the cheapest possible price that day. So the most prescient early comment about the internet still holds true today. It's a race to zero margin. Unless you have a brand. Now, if you have a brand, now you can command you know, a certain range of margins and prices.
Right.
That you can hold to that reflect the attention and love and detail and care and research that went into creating the product. Presumably, if it's a one-of-a-kind product and no one else has something like that, then the brand, can, you know, that backs up the brand stature. So I see these two paths. One is sort of the commoditization of the world. The other is the real refining of brands to where people become loyalty not just to the brand but to the community that the brand represents. They want to feel like they're a part of some community.
And so what was, I guess, one of the biggest challenges that you experienced building your brand?
A lot of challenges. I mean, it's tough building a, you know, writing a blog post every day that's well researched and can be substantiated. I mean, you know, I've taken a lot of positions that are contrary to the medical community or contrary to conventional wisdom. And yet I feel good about each one of those positions, but only because I did so much research. Yet, every time you do that, you sort of putting yourself out there for, you know, for being put down by, you know, by somebody who said you're full of crap, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, this is what the medical community has been saying for 20 years, how can you go against that now? And so there's, you know, in this, the same sort of statements that are unique to the brand are the statements that make the brand unique because they're contrary to other brands or other ways of thinking. So it's a fine line that you kind of walk in that regard.
So one of the best things that works for you, had worked for you then, is taking that, those positions and knowing where you stand with them allowed you to really hold it and find that spot in your space.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of health companies, for instance, on the internet that say the same pablum, same, sort of rehashing stuff that's been rewritten,
right.
Repurposing content. WebMD, it's a huge company, but basically there's not a lot of original thought there, but
sure.
that's an approach. We wanted to be kind of the leading edge of a new movement that looked at, how can we achieve levels of health without relying on medicine, by relying on good, wholesome, healthy food, by choosing exercise that benefits us and doesn't tear us down. So it was, again, it's all kind of well thought out, but that planning, that early planning has paid off.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of times too is, we get so excited, we start running with our business, we want to see it grow and make it happen. And we, as entrepreneurs, we tend to forget to sometimes make those plans or really kind of generate that path that we...
Well, sometimes we don't have that luxury. I mean, I already had a business, I already had an infrastructure, I already had a warehouse, I already had people working for me. So I didn't have to put everything on hold for 3 years, not feed my family, cross my fingers, raise money, do all that stuff. I had that luxury of being able to be methodical about it. Go, I got everything else kind of handled. So for now, let's really put the time in to build this brand.
Right. What's been, your best path that you've kept you healthy and kept you mind strong and everything, building your business? Because you've raised a family, you guys do millions and millions of dollars a year.
So. Yeah, so some things like just taking the time to spend time with my kids, go to soccer games.
Sure.
And my kids are 25 and 22 now. I was building this business while they were in their, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, up through their teens. And to this day, they thank me for the presence. Not the, with a T, but with a C-E, my being present at their events and participating with them. And, that means a lot to me now, and it's not something that I go back, and I'll have to go back and, oh, shit, I wish I'd spend more time with my kids. So something just as simple as that, which is a stress reducer, which keeps you centered and focused and said, look, I know I'm on a mission to build a game-changing, world-altering business, but this is now, this is life, this is real, and I can't live in the future.
Right.
And I can't just ignore what's happening right now because one day maybe I'll have built this big business. So you kind of, for me, just keeping in the present has always been the big deal.
Awesome. And what are three success strategies that you've utilized that built your business over the years that we can share?
Well, so, I mean, number one, always invest in yourself.
Right.
So, I had no money until I was in my 40s. My kids, it's 20 years ago. I left a well-paying job with a wife and two kids, no money in the bank. Start my own company from scratch. So that was investing in myself, right?
Sure.
I think that, so that's point number one. I think point number two is the importance of hiring good people cannot be overstated. It's critical to hire team members that are, that get the concept, that understand the company DNA, that are good people, that are loyal, that like in my case, I just came back from Italy last week and I was there for 10 days. And, it seems like my company runs better when I'm gone because I'm not around to interfere with it, right? Because I got good people who are running.
Sure.
So, invest in yourself, hire good people. And I think, enjoying the process of building a business. Because I've seen enough successful business people who don't enjoy the process, but when they finally get to the point where they sell to a large company or they cash out or whatever, they go, oh, geez, what was that about? I mean, I got a big hit for 3 days as we went public or as they sold, and now back to like, what's next? God, I wish I'd enjoyed more of the process of getting here. So
right.
It's really critical to every day kind of go, God, this is so awesome what we're doing. And even the problems, I mean, I hear Gary V talk about, you know, well, when you're a CEO, you know, your life is really just about problems because you're the one who has to deal with all the crap. Well, it's true, but if you can keep a mindset that is, this isn't crap, these are hurdles.
Right.
And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
True.
But here I am, you know, in a position to be able to make these decisions and stand by.
Now, and those are all awesome points. I mean, investing in yourself, hiring the right team. I mean, do you tend to spend more on somebody that you know, hey, they're the right person?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I found as well. But what's one piece of technology that you couldn't live without?
Well, I mean, you know, probably my cell phone, but sometimes I wish it didn't exist. I mean, the fact that everyone has one makes it that I can't live without it.
Right.
But then if it didn't exist, we'd be killing it because no one else would have a greater advantage than I do. I think everyone to this day, if they don't thank their lucky stars, the internet has allowed them to leverage
sure.
literally 100-fold what they could have done 20 years ago, then they're missing the point.
Have you seen a bigger difference now that the internet's there with your business?
Oh, my God. Sure. I mean, it's orders of magnitude what you can do and how you can leverage and how you can... Something as simple as in the old days, you know, well, printing. You know, we used to have to take all that shit down to the graphic company and they do, you know, multiple layers and they'd have to cut it out and do all this lino stuff and typeset and all this stuff, and that's done. You know, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars that we would have spent doing that you can do, you know, in an afternoon now with the right graphic designer who knows how to do that. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, the ability to, in the old days of infomercials, you know, you do an infomercial, you spend a lot of money to produce it, a lot of money to air it, and then you'd have to test it in A/B, and then you have to go back, and it was like, you know, $500,000 to get a campaign going up with an infomercial. You know, now you can do that with, look at the size of this camera you're using here, Josh. I mean, you know, you can do all the stuff, you know, and throw it up on the internet, do an A/B test, and test different offers and different stuff, and it's incredible what you can do, and it's still the same concept.
Sure.
But it's been leveraged so highly.
Definitely. So where can people find out more about you and what you do? And
sure. So the blog is marksdailyapple.com. The commerce site is primalkitchen.com. So all of our food is on Primal Kitchen. We have a training program where we train coaches to do what I do.
Okay.
And that's primalhealthcoach.com. And we've got Primal Kitchen Restaurants, primalkitchenrestaurants.com. So...
Now, are those restaurants that are opening up?
No, so it's a franchise concept.
Okay.
We've sold seven franchises. We're actually building the first one right now.
Awesome.
But we've had a lot of again, the brand, a lot of traction with just the concept.
Cool. Yeah. And you guys have a retreat too, right?
We stopped doing that.
Okay.
We did 10 of these Primal Con retreats. They were massively fun, but they were such production too expensive production to put on. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out today.
Sure.
And it was an honor to have you on Making Bank.
Pleasure being here, man. All right.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm Josh Philbright. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.